What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, we have extra big deals for a very limited time, so you can get Dad the gift he's been wishing for. Get a free select Craftsman, DeWalt, or Kobalt battery when you buy a select combo kit. Plus, save $90 on a Kobalt 24-volt battery string trimmer and leaf blower combo kit. Now $129. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
The first year was the hardest. People who had never lost a child often assumed grief worked like other hardships. They imagined there was a period of intense sadness followed by healing, acceptance, and eventually some version of normal life. She learned very quickly that grief didn't work that way. It simply changed shape. The first few weeks after Tyler's death passed in a blur. Family members filled the house. Friends called constantly. Neighbors dropped off food she barely touched. There were funeral arrangements to make, paperwork to complete, and countless decisions that felt impossible to make while living through the worst period of her life. Then slowly, everyone returned to their own lives. The phone stopped ringing as often. Visitors became less frequent, or the meals stopped arriving. The support never completely disappeared, but it became quieter, less visible. Meanwhile, her loss remained exactly where it had always been, waiting for her every morning. She found herself measuring time by the milestones Tyler would never reach. His 17th birthday arrived and passed. The first Christmas without him felt almost impossible to survive. Graduation season was particularly difficult. Everywhere she looked, she saw young men roughly his age, taking pictures, making plans, and stepping into futures that her son would never have. People told her he would always be with her. People meant well. She understood that. Still, there were nights when she would have traded every comforting phrase she had ever heard just to sit across a table from him for 5 minutes. What she missed most surprised her. It wasn't the major moments. It was the ordinary ones. She missed hearing him come through the front door after school. She missed finding empty glasses in the living room and shoes left where they didn't belong. She missed hearing him laugh while talking to friends online from the other room. The house had become noticeably quieter after he died, and no amount of time seemed capable of changing that. Her husband carried the loss differently. He rarely talked about it anymore. Not because he didn't care, but because discussing it seemed to hurt him in ways neither of them fully understood. He worked longer hours than he used to. Some evenings they sat together in the same room for hours without saying much at all. They weren't falling apart. They were simply grieving differently. If there was one thing she never admitted to anyone, it was the guilt. She carried it everywhere. The accident hadn't been her fault. Everyone told her that. The police report said the same thing. Friends, family members, therapists, and clergy had all repeated it over the years. None of it mattered. Deep down, she remained convinced that if she had done something differently, somehow, some way, Tyler would still be alive. The thought followed her constantly. Sometimes it arrived quietly while she was folding laundry or washing dishes. Other times it hit without warning in the middle of the night. She would lie awake, replaying events she couldn't change, searching for mistakes she might have made and alternate outcomes that no longer existed. Nearly 2 years passed that way. Then, on an ordinary Saturday afternoon, something happened that she would spend the rest of her life trying to understand. The day itself was completely unremarkable. She had spent the morning cleaning the house before deciding to visit a local garden center. Gardening had once been one of her favorite hobbies, though she hadn't devoted much attention to it since Tyler's death. Lately, she had been trying to reconnect with parts of her life that existed before grief took over everything. The garden center was busy. Families pushed carts through rows of flowers and shrubs. Employees moved pallets of mulch while customers compared plants and landscaping ideas. It felt like the sort of place people visited when they were making plans for the future. And for the first time in a long while, she found herself enjoying simply being around other people. For nearly an hour, she wandered through the aisles without thinking much about anything. Then she noticed a woman watching her, not staring, not following, just noticing her. At first, she thought nothing of it. Their paths crossed once near a display of hanging baskets and again near a section filled with bird feeders. The woman appeared to be in her late 50s or early 60s and looked completely ordinary. If anything stood out about her, it was that she seemed distracted. The third time their paths crossed, the woman appeared almost uncomfortable. She glanced in her direction several times before looking away. More than once, it seemed as though she intended to approach her, only to change her mind at the last second. The behavior was unusual enough that she eventually found herself paying attention. A few minutes later, the woman finally walked over. Even then, she looked hesitant. There was no confidence in her approach, no sense that she was about to deliver a rehearsed speech or sell a service. If anything, she appeared embarrassed. The first thing she did was apologize. The second thing she did was say something that brought the entire afternoon to a stop. The woman quietly explained that she knew what she was about to say would sound strange. She admitted she had almost talked herself out of approaching her several times. Then, after one final moment of hesitation, she said she believed she had a message from someone named Tyler. The world seemed to narrow around her. Everything else disappeared. The sounds of other shoppers, the carts rolling across the pavement, the conversations happening nearby. All of it faded into the background because she hadn't told this woman her son's name, and there was no reason in the world she should have known it. For several seconds, she simply stared at her, unable to speak. Then the woman began sharing details that made even less sense. And with every word, the impossible became harder to dismiss. For several seconds, she simply stood there, staring at the woman. The garden center continued bustling around them as though nothing unusual was happening. Families pushed carts between rows of flowers. Employees loaded bags of mulch into waiting vehicles, and conversations drifted through the warm afternoon air. Yet all of it seemed strangely distant. Her attention remained fixed on the woman standing in front of her and the impossible words she had just spoken. The name Tyler wasn't uncommon, and under different circumstances, she might have dismissed the entire encounter immediately. The problem was that the woman didn't seem confident or rehearsed. She looked nervous. More than nervous, actually. She looked like someone who regretted starting the conversation, but felt compelled to continue anyway. Several times she paused and glanced away as though debating whether she should simply apologize and walk off. Instead, she kept talking. What struck her almost immediately was how ordinary the woman seemed. There was no mention of psychic abilities, no dramatic claims about communicating with the dead, and no attempt to convince her of anything. If anything, she appeared just as confused by the encounter as the person receiving the message. The entire conversation felt awkward in a way that would have been difficult to fake. Then came the first detail. The woman mentioned a nickname Tyler had used when he was younger. It wasn't something that existed online or appeared in family photographs. It had started as a joke during a vacation years earlier and somehow survived long after it should have disappeared. Even as a teenager, Tyler occasionally used it because he knew it would make her laugh. Hearing that nickname spoken aloud by a complete stranger immediately changed the way she viewed the conversation. At first, she searched for a reasonable explanation. Perhaps the woman knew someone in the family. Perhaps there was some connection she hadn't recognized. Those possibilities became harder to accept as the conversation continued. The woman went on to describe a fishing trip from years earlier and recalled an incident that had become a private family joke. It wasn't the sort of story that would have been shared publicly, nor was it something a stranger could reasonably guess. The more she listened, the more difficult it became to convince herself there was a simple explanation for what was happening. What made the experience even stranger was the way the woman delivered the information. She wasn't telling a story so much as relaying fragments. Sometimes she paused for several seconds before continuing. Other times she corrected herself halfway through a sentence, abandoning one thought entirely and replacing it with another. More than once, she appeared to be listening to something she was struggling to understand before attempting to put it into words. The encounter felt less like a performance and more like someone trying to repeat information they didn't fully comprehend themselves. As the conversation continued, the details gradually gave way to something more personal. The stories and memories stopped, replaced by observations that struck much closer to home. The woman spoke about grief, though not in broad or generic terms. Somehow she seemed to understand the specific burden she had been carrying since Tyler's death. For nearly 2 years, she had blamed herself. Nobody knew the extent of it. Her husband knew she struggled, her family suspected. Therapists had tried to help her work through it, yet there were thoughts she had never shared with anyone because speaking them aloud made them sound irrational. Deep down, she remained convinced that if she had made one different decision, asked one different question, or noticed one small detail, the outcome might have changed. Logic told her otherwise, and the guilt never listened. The woman had no way of knowing any of that, yet the conversation seemed to circle that wound again and again. Eventually, she quietly delivered the message that had apparently prompted the entire encounter in the first place. Tyler wanted her to stop blaming herself. The words were simple, but they landed with a force she wasn't prepared for. She had heard similar things countless times from well-meaning people. Friends had said it, family members had said it, counselors had said it. The difference was that none of those people knew the private moments she replayed in her head every night. This woman somehow did. Not every detail, not enough to feel invasive, just enough to make her feel understood in a way she hadn't experienced since losing her son. By the time tears began running down her face, she wasn't even sure what she believed anymore. She wasn't convinced she was speaking to a psychic. She wasn't convinced she was receiving a genuine message from Tyler. At the same time, she could no longer dismiss the encounter as coincidence. Too many details fit together. Too many things had been said that nobody else should have known. The woman appeared emotional as well. Whatever was happening seemed to affect her just as deeply. When the conversation finally ended, she made no effort to extend it. She didn't ask for money, offer additional readings, or attempt to explain what had just happened. After quietly wishing her well, she simply disappeared into the crowd of shoppers, leaving her standing alone among rows of flowers, trying to process everything she had just heard. She remained there for several minutes without moving. The ordinary sounds of the garden center gradually returned. People walked past carrying plants and bags of soil. Nearby conversations drifted in and out of earshot. Life continued exactly as it had before, yet she felt as though something fundamental had shifted. For nearly 2 years, she had carried the same questions everywhere she went. Every memory eventually led back to the accident. Every quiet moment became an opportunity to replay events she could no longer change. Now, for the first time, she found herself thinking about something else. Not answers, questions. Questions about the woman, questions about the encounter, questions about whether the impossible conversation she had just experienced had been exactly what it seemed. The drive home passed in a blur. More than once she realized she had traveled several miles without paying attention to the road around her because her mind kept returning to the same details. She replayed every word she could remember, searching for flaws, inconsistencies, or signs that she had somehow misinterpreted what happened. The harder she searched, the more difficult those explanations became. By the time she pulled into her driveway, she still didn't know what she believed. What she did know was that for the first time in nearly 2 years, she had spent an entire afternoon thinking about Tyler without replaying the day she lost him. And as she sat in the driveway looking at the house, she realized that simple fact might be more important than anything the woman had actually said. For the rest of that evening, she found herself moving through the house in a daze. She told herself she needed time to process what had happened, but the truth was, she wasn't entirely sure where to begin. Every attempt to explain the encounter eventually led her back to the same problem. The woman in the garden center had known things she shouldn't have known. No matter how many times she replayed the conversation in her mind, she couldn't find a reasonable explanation for the details that had been shared. Her husband listened quietly as she described the encounter later that night. He asked a few questions, most of them practical. What did the woman look like? Had she introduced herself? Did she leave any way to contact her? The answers were frustratingly simple. She knew very little about the stranger beyond what had happened during those few minutes in the garden center. Looking back, she realized she hadn't even thought to ask for a name. The entire encounter had felt too overwhelming in the moment. When she finished telling the story, neither of them spoke for a while. Eventually, her husband admitted he didn't know what to make of it. He wasn't dismissive, but he wasn't ready to call it a miracle either. Like her, he seemed caught somewhere between skepticism and hope. That uncertainty followed her for weeks. More than once, she considered returning to the garden center in the hope of seeing the woman again. She visited several times over the following month, always feeling slightly foolish the moment she pulled into the parking lot. Part of her knew the chances were slim. The encounter had felt spontaneous. Whatever had happened that afternoon, it didn't seem like the sort of thing that could simply be repeated on demand. Not surprisingly, she never saw the woman again. As time passed, she gradually stopped focusing on the stranger and started focusing on the message itself. That surprised her. Initially, she had become consumed by questions. Who was the woman? How had she known those details? Why had the encounter happened at all? Those questions seemed incredibly important at first, yet the further she got from that afternoon, the less they mattered. The message remained. The woman had told her that Tyler wanted her to stop blaming herself, and whether the message came from her son or from some unexplained intuition hardly seemed as important as it once had. The words had found a place inside her that years of conversations, counseling sessions, and reassurances had never managed to reach. The guilt didn't disappear overnight. It wasn't that simple. Years of grief don't vanish because of a single conversation. There were still difficult days. There were still anniversaries, birthdays, and quiet moments when old memories returned unexpectedly. She still found herself replaying events from time to time. The difference was that she no longer became trapped there. For the first time since Tyler's death, she found herself remembering more of his life than his loss. She thought about fishing trips, family vacations, school events, and countless ordinary afternoons that had once seemed unremarkable. Slowly, almost without realizing it, she began allowing herself to revisit happier memories without immediately following them back to the accident. Several months after the encounter, she was sitting outside one evening as the sun began to set. It had become a habit of hers. Whenever the weather was pleasant, she liked spending a few quiet minutes on the back patio before heading inside for the night. The neighborhood was peaceful, and the stillness gave her an opportunity to think without distraction. That evening, her thoughts drifted naturally toward Tyler, not toward the accident, not toward guilt, just Tyler. She found herself smiling at a memory involving one of his teenage attempts at cooking. The disaster had left smoke lingering in the house for days, and had become a favorite family story afterward. For a few moments, she sat alone, laughing softly to herself as she remembered how proud he had been of the meal despite the outcome. A sudden flash of red caught her attention. A cardinal landed on the fence only a few feet away. The bird remained perfectly still, its bright feathers standing out against the fading evening light. Normally, she wouldn't have thought much of it. Cardinals weren't particularly unusual in the area, yet something about the moment felt different. Perhaps it was the timing. Perhaps it was the conversation in the garden center still lingering somewhere in the back of her mind. Or perhaps it was simply because she was finally in a place where she could think about her son without immediately feeling overwhelmed by grief. The Cardinal remained there for nearly a minute before finally taking flight and disappearing beyond the neighboring yards. She watched it go and found herself smiling again. She didn't know whether the bird meant anything. She wasn't even sure she believed the stories people told about cardinals appearing as signs from loved ones. What she did know was that the sight of it filled her with a sense of peace she hadn't felt in a very long time. Years later, she still thought about the woman in the garden center. She still wondered who she was and how she knew the things she knew. Some days she convinced herself there had to be a logical explanation. Other days she wasn't so sure. The older she became, the less important that answer seemed. What mattered was the effect the encounter had on her life. A stranger had walked up to her on an ordinary Saturday afternoon and delivered a message that changed the way she carried her grief. Whether that message came from intuition, coincidence, something paranormal, or truly from Tyler himself was a question she never managed to answer. In the end, she realized she didn't need to. The mystery remained, the comfort remained too. And whenever she thought about that afternoon, she found herself returning to the same conclusion. For a brief moment, when she needed it most, she had been given exactly the message she needed to hear.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.